blessed Sunday morning to everyone. We love you. We are so glad that you are joining together with us today in worship. It's such a joy to be a part of the family of God. And so we welcome everyone that is joining us via the internet. And we certainly consider you a part of our church family. It's so wonderful to be able to connect together with you through the internet with the family of God. It reminds us that even though we may be separated during these times, we are not isolated. We are not alone. We are a part of the family of God. So if you're tuning in with us this morning, we encourage you, just leave us a comment, whether you're on YouTube or Facebook, just leave us a comment, say hi, let us know how you're doing. We want to hear from you. So take a moment right now to leave us a comment so that we can hear from you. And we encourage you right now to share our live stream on your social media profiles so that you can invite your friends and your family members to join in together with us as well, because now more than ever, people need the hope and the strength that comes through the presence of the Lord and through His Word. So we want to encourage you to share our live feed right now, our live stream right now, to your social media page so that we can extend the reach of the gospel to many more people. So be a social media evangelist right now. Hit that share button and invite your friends and family members to join together with us. We are so glad that you are gathering with us online in worship today. And we're just going to open with a verse of scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's probably familiar to many of you. But it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but with everything that's presently going on in the world and in our nation and in our lives personally, the constant stress of these times can just drain our energy mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And as this crisis is prolonged, it just wears away at us. But what a wonderful promise that as we wait on the Lord, as we seek Him, as we worship Him, as we put our hope in Him, looking to Him in faith, He will renew our strength. Praise God. Do you need strength this morning? Let's look to the Lord. Let's lift up our voices and hearts with all that is within us to worship Him and invite His presence here today. Would you pray together with me? Lift your voice right where you are. Our wonderful Lord and our God, we thank you so much for your incredible love towards us. We have gathered here this morning just to wait upon you. You are our strong tower, our hiding place. You are our refuge and our hope. You are the strength of our life. We fix our eyes and our heart upon you today, Lord God, because our help comes from you. You are the strength of our lives. We humble ourselves before you in worship this morning. We come to draw near to you. We come to exalt your name together. We need you, Lord. We need you now more than we have ever needed you. We welcome your presence in our lives and in our homes today. Let your presence fill this place. Let your presence fill the place wherever your people have stopped to worship you this morning. May each person joining us today encounter you in a real and life-changing way. Meet them, Lord God, at the point of their need. And may we leave from this service renewed and strengthened in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, amen. We're so glad to have a portion of our worship team together with us here today to lead us in worship. So would you lift your voices together with us and let us worship the Lord this morning.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for our family. We give you thanks for our health. We give you thanks for having you in our lives, Lord Jesus, because you are our healer, you are our provider, and you are the one that is leading us into victory. Hallelujah. Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. mighty hand.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. Of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing a praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful.
Because you are a good father. We are your children. And Lord, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we are your people. We are your church. And it's your presence, your spirit among us that give us identity as the church of Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ in this earth. Thank you because you are good, because you are kind, because you are a loving Father that has patience and mercy with us. And this morning we celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your love. We celebrate your faithfulness. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Stories of one day think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm
Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I see
that can only be found in you, Jesus.
Far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word.
Tell him you're a good Father, Lord.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak.
For being such a wonderful, loving Father that loves us just the way we are, that accepts us just the way we are. It is through the blood of Jesus that we can come into your presence, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God. Oh, thank you, Father. Let your love embrace us right now. Let your love heal us and strengthen us. Let us be reminded that we are not alone. That we are not orphans walking in this world in the storms and the circumstances of life alone, but that you are with us. Oh, you're a good Father.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father.
Bless everyone with your love right now, Jesus. Oh Lord, those that are feeling lonely, feel their space with your love, Lord Jesus. We are your children. You said that you would not leave us orphaned, but that your spirit, you send us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And your Holy Spirit is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ready to help us, ready to empower us, ready to reveal Jesus to us. Oh Father, thank you for the identity that we find in you as your people, as your children. That is who we are, your people, the members of the body of Christ in this earth. That is who we are. And thank you, because many in the world do not know who they are. They're trying to find answers in the world, but in you we know who we are. And boldly we say this morning, we are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. We are the people of God. We are the body of Christ. That is who we are. And nothing and no one in this world can change that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the anointing of your Spirit that sets us free. Thank you, because we feel the atmosphere changing now. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in our homes, because the church is not a building. The church of Jesus Christ is not a building. Just because we cannot come into a physical building has not stopped the fact that we are the church of Jesus, that we are the body of Christ. Father, that you are moving, that you are doing the work of your kingdom. And this morning, we thank you because we build an altar of worship in our homes. We open our homes to the move of the Spirit, and we worship you. We declare your word in our homes. We worship you in spirit and in truth at home. We pray at home. We continue to testify to the world that there is salvation in Jesus. Hallelujah. Overflow in this place, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here.
The atmosphere
is changing.
It's changing there in your home. It's changing there where you are.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all,
yes, so
around. The Spirit of the Lord. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love surrounds us.
You're the reason.
You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds
us. Yes, Lord, we love you. We are hungry. We are thirsty for you. Move of your Spirit in our homes, in our lives. Jesus, you are the answer. You are the answer, oh Lord.
The atmosphere is changing now.
For
the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all. Spirit of the Lord is here.
Oh, welcome the Holy Spirit.
Overflow.
fresh on us. We need your presence, Holy Spirit. What we need is more of you, more of you, more of your Spirit, more of your power, more of your holiness.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us.
Happen right where you are in your home. You don't have to be in a physical building to be touched by the Spirit. To receive a miracle, you don't have to be in a physical building. You can be touched by the Spirit of God right where you are. Right where you are, you can be healed. Right where you are, you can be strengthened by the Spirit of God.
Can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That wherever your Spirit is, miracles can happen. And thank you right now that your Spirit is filling this place and your Spirit is filling the homes of your people as they worship you, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just embrace them in your love and draw them close unto yourself. Surround each and every person who is worshiping with us this morning. Surround them with your presence, Lord God. Fill their homes. Move in their lives. We welcome you here, Lord God. We need you. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. A miracle can happen for you right now, right where you are, as we look to the Lord in prayer and in faith. If you have a need, I want to encourage you just to lift your hand to the Lord as a sign of faith. And I'm just sensing in my spirit there's someone that you're just so burdened down right now by all that is happening, that you're just feeling overwhelmed. And you've been saying inside of yourself, I don't know how much longer I can do this. It's as if your strength has just gone from you. The Lord loves you, and we're going to pray for you this morning. If that's you, just reach your hand towards heaven right now. And let's believe the Lord to minister. He is your sufficiency. He will be to you everything you need him to be. Whatever your need is, just reach your hand towards heaven as we pray and lift your voice together with me as you ask the Lord to meet your need. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that you love us, that you care about everything that concerns us, Lord God. We thank you that your word says that your eyes go to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for an opportunity to show yourself mighty towards those who love you. We love you, Lord, and we are crying out to you. We need you, Lord. Here are many opportunities to show yourself mighty in the lives of your people. Father, for those that are sick this morning, release your healing virtue in their body. Touch them right now, Lord God. Restore health, strength, and vitality to their bodies, Lord God. Father, we pray for those this morning that are battling with anxiety, with insomnia, with depression. Father, we just lift them before your presence right now, oh God. You are the God who restores our soul, Lord God. Father, restore their emotions. Restore their mind right now, Lord God. Touch them and speak peace over their lives, Lord God. Father, we pray for this individual, whomever they may be, that's just feeling so overwhelmed, so burdened, Lord God, that they wonder how much longer can they go on. But Lord, we pray right now that you would just touch them, that you would assure them of your love, of your grace. Father, you have said in your word that your grace is sufficient for us. Let your grace flow towards them. Father, your word says that you are the God who upholds us. That when we have no strength of our own, underneath are your everlasting arms. Lord God, just wrap your arms beneath this individual and lift them up. Let them feel your strength holding them up right now, Lord God. Touch them in the name of Jesus. For every person that is battling with job loss and financial need, we are asking you to provide. We are asking you to open doors of employment, Lord God. Father, make a way right now for your people as our Jehovah Jireh. We are asking in Jesus' name, whatever other situations that we may be facing this morning, Lord God, we lift them before you. As the prophet of old said, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too hard for you?" Lord, we know that there is nothing that you cannot do. So whatever your people are facing this morning, stretch forth your mighty hand. Intervene on their behalf and work a miracle for them, Lord God. Glorify yourself, we pray. We commit every need into your mighty and able hands today. And we pray it all in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And when the answer is manifest, we will be sure to give testimony unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When God does it, be sure to give testimony. We heard a wonderful testimony this morning from Sister Ruby, one of our members who had gone to the doctor and they were concerned about a spot on her lung, but she was praying and fasting. And when she went for tests, they couldn't find it. That's the God that we serve. Amen. So when God works on your behalf, be sure to testify of his goodness and of his miracle working power. We rejoice together with you this morning, Ruby. We are so glad for that. Amen. Once again, we just want to welcome everyone who is joining us, because we certainly need the encouragement of the worship, the presence of God, and the word during these times, and the connection with the family of God. We need that now more than ever. We just want to update you on what's going on and how you can remain spiritually connected during these difficult times. Many of you are aware that we are making plans and preparations for our Phase 1 church reopening, and that's going to be right now, Sunday, July the 12th. At 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday morning, and it'll be Sunday mornings only. And we're going to have many precautions that we're taking. Everyone will be required to wear a mask. We ask everyone to practice social distancing when you're coming in, not to gather in the hallways, to stay 6 feet apart. When you're seated, we're going to have every other row taped off, and we ask you to sit together with your family, but to skip at least 2 chairs between yourself and non-family members. And we're also going to have temperature checks and a brief COVID-19 screening questionnaire for anyone entering the building. And of course, we're going to have touchless services. There's not going to be any passing of offering bags or attendance rosters or any types of materials. No physical greetings, handshakes, or hugs. We're going to have some big smiles underneath our masks, and we're going to greet one another verbally and with virtual hugs and kisses, but no physical touch. Our doors are going to be propped open for entry and exit so that you don't have to touch those areas. And we're going to be sanitizing high touch areas after each service. And so we're going to try to make the environment as safe as possible. Of course, we can't guarantee a germ-free environment, but we're going to do our very best to make it as safe as possible for our family members. I did hear just yesterday that due to the rise in the COVID infection rate here in Florida, and particularly South Florida, that a South Florida mayor said that they may have to reconsider a stay-at-home some order depending on how this trend continues. So we are going to be monitoring any developments, and if it becomes necessary, then we will have to change our reopening date. But we are going to be keeping abreast of the situation because we want to make sure that not only do we comply with what the guidelines of our local authorities are, but we also want to make sure to do what is safest for our congregation. So please do keep abreast, keep informed, and keep tuned in to our Facebook page and our Instagram. That's where we post most of our information so that you will know what is happening. As we make plans to reopen, we are in need of volunteers because many of our regular volunteers, whether due to age or because of underlying condition or just concern over the situation, are not able to serve. And so we need volunteers, particularly in several areas, as an usher or greeter. If you want to help with temperature checks and health screening, that's a completely new area of ministry. So we need to staff that area if you want to be a part of that. Or if you would like to help with our sanitizing team, where they're just going to be after each service for about 15 minutes wiping down all of the high-touch surfaces with disinfectant. And if you're able to serve in any of those areas, we would greatly appreciate it, and you will certainly be making an impact by helping us to reopen. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page, nl-fl.org. In fact, do it right now. Just go to our Facebook page, nl-fl.org, click the volunteer button, fill in the form that link will lead you to, and then one of our ministry leaders will get in touch with you. We thank you for those who've already volunteered. We still do need more volunteers, so please, if you will, go ahead and click that button and fill in that form. Don't forget now, do it this morning. Praise God. We want to remind everybody that even once we open, we're going to continue to live stream at 11 a.m. For our Sunday morning services, and then we will keep everything else online as it has been. We'll be live streaming Sunday evening at 6:30, Wednesday evening and Thursday evening at 7:30. We'll keep youth and young adults as well as life groups on Zoom and men's ministry and all the other ministries that we have been doing by Zoom. So if you need access to any of those ministries, please contact our church office. You can either call us at 954-981-6405, or you can email us at churchoffice@nl-fl.org, and we will be glad to get you the access information for any of those Zoom ministries. So we want to thank all of our ministry leaders who are working very hard to continue to keep everyone connected and minister to each other relationally and personally. We appreciate all the work that they're doing in order to do that and to reach out to others as well during this time. We do certainly miss the wonderful fellowship of the family of God, and we can't wait to be back together again with you. We hope we'll be able to do it on July 12th. That's just a month away, and we're excited about that because even though things will change as far as masks and social distancing, some things will remain the same. The presence of God, the wonderful fellowship of the body of Christ, all of that's going to still be there, and so we look forward to that. And so you just keep that in prayer for us as we move forward. But in the meantime, we want to continue to minister to you any way that we can. If you have a prayer request, just leave them in the comments. We do go through the comments after the service, and we do pray for any of those prayer requests. Or you can call our church office or email us. Our staff is continuing to work from home because our offices are very small. There's no room for social distancing. But you can leave a message or email us, and we will have your prayer request passed on to a group of intercessors who will be praying for you. At this time, we want to encourage you to worship the Lord with our giving. I just want to share a passage of scripture to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving, and it's from Malachi 3:10. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it." And that word try, when God says, try me and see, that word try means to test or to prove. Do you know that this is the only time in Scripture when God tells us to test him or to prove him? In fact, other than this, it's a sin to try to test God. But here he says, test me, prove me. And in that same verse, he gives us a promise to all who will test him by faithfully bringing our tithes unto the Lord. And the word tithe simply means tenth. And the Bible teaches us that 1/10 of our income belongs to the Lord. In Leviticus 27:30, the Lord says that the tithe of everything that we earn belongs to him. And so God challenges his people to tithe and test him if he'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out abundant blessings in your life. You know, it's kind of like how sometimes when you buy something and it says, you've got a 90-day guarantee on this. If you don't like it, you can send it back. Well, it's kind of like that. God says, just start tithing faithfully and then watch and see if the blessings do not come. And God's putting his name on the line. So let me tell you something. The blessings are going to come. I've experienced it personally in my life. God's word is true. God's promises are sure. So there is no possible way that the blessings will not come when we honor the Lord by tithing in faith and obedience. Now, in our natural mind, it may seem impossible to us that 90% could go further than 100%. But with God's blessing, it will indeed go further. This is the reason for the test. The only way we will ever truly know the faithfulness of God in the area of giving is to do it. To do it in faith, and then you will see God bless you. For those of us who have trusted and tested God by tithing, the verdict is sure. We have seen God bless us time and time again in ways far beyond the amount that we have given. So God's challenge still stands today. Try tithing and see if God will not pour out his blessings in your life. Let's accept God's challenge this morning as we come in faith to worship him with our tithes and our offerings. And get ready. Get ready for God to open the windows of heaven and pour out abundant blessing in your life. God also tells us in this verse the purpose of tithing is to support his house and the work of the ministry. Tithing is not man's idea. It's God's idea. It's God's plan to support the ministry of his house. Through your faithful and generous giving, and I appreciate everybody, you have just done so wonderfully, even during these challenging times. And because of you, we've been able to continue ministering locally and spreading the gospel around the world through our missionaries. Just this past week, I was able to minister to several people locally who connected with us online, one of whom was a lady in a severe depression in a desperate situation with a drug-addicted and abusive husband, and I was able to talk to her about Jesus. I was able to minister to her. Another was a man struggling with anxiety and depression over the loss of a job due to COVID-19 and having suicidal thoughts, and first I was able to reach out to him because he contacted us by email. I reached out to him by email, then I was able to speak to him on the phone and just minister to him and share the gospel and pray for him. And stories like this are happening virtually every week, and it is because of your faithful giving. So let's worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings now. I worship the Lord with my giving. Just before the service, I gave my tithes and I gave my special offerings, and it's quick, it's safe, and it's easy. I just saved the text number 954-516-1522. I saved it to my phone. Then whenever I want to give, I go into the Messages app, wherever you text, and pull that number up, and then you text the amount. So if you're giving $25, it would be 25. If you're giving $50, it would be 50, and just hit send. And if it's your first time giving, they're going to send you a link. Just click that link, follow it, and enter your payment information. After that, you're good to go. You can use it thereafter and not have to repeat that process. So it's very simple, very quick. Then just save that number to your phone and you'll be able to use it for the future. Another wonderful opportunity is to be able to set up automatic giving. And that way you can just set it up if you want it to give, you know, once a week or biweekly or once a month, however you normally tithe. You can set that up and you can just pretty much set it and forget it. Then it will be taken care of for you. So you can do all of that through Purpose Gateway with our text giving. If you prefer, you can also give online. All you have to do is go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Give tab, and the options for online giving will be spelled out for you there. You can give through Purpose Gateway, which is the same service provider that we use for text next giving, but the online version, or you can give through PayPal if that is more convenient for you. And then, of course, if you're not comfortable with online giving, you're always welcome to mail your offerings into the church. So right now, wherever you are, as you give, I want to encourage you just to lift your phone before the Lord or touch your tablet or your computer that you're using to give, and let us declare by faith the promises of God over our life. Lift your voice together with me. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens, that's the promise we just read about. I declare an open heavens, an overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. New Life, thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. We really do appreciate it, and I know it honors God, and he will bless you. So take this opportunity now as the worship team comes back to lead us in song, and just take that opportunity to worship the Lord with your giving.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing.
And exalt your name. We pray now the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon the message of your word as it goes forth. We pray that you touch every heart and every mind. Let hardened hearts be softened, and let your Holy Spirit bring conviction and change in our lives. Glorify yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. We love you and appreciate you. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be reading a few verses in that passage as we continue our series this morning titled Now for Eternity. And today's message is Live with a Future Focus. I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying these messages on the end times. I hope that you have been as well. We need to be reminded about the second coming of the Lord. I read a story about a little girl who went home after church where she had been taught about the second coming of Jesus. And she asked her mother, Mommy, do you believe Jesus will come back? And the mother replied, Yes, honey, of course. So the little girl said, Today? The mother thought and said, Yes, it could be. The little girl said, In a few minutes? And the mother said, Yes, dear. The little girl said, Then, Mommy, would you comb my hair? She wanted to be ready if Jesus came back that day. And we need to be ready. You know, there's a wide range of responses to the subject of the second coming of Christ and the end times, ranging from the extremists who set dates, dress in white, pack their bags, and go up on some mountain and wait for Jesus to return. And then the other extreme is those who are indifferent and even mock or scoff at the thought that the world could ever come to an end. But even among Christians, there are those who completely dismiss the doctrine of the second coming of Christ and the end times, saying that it has no relevance for today. And with such a wide variety of views concerning the end times, we must ask, what ought our attitude be towards the coming of Christ and the end times? And as you study the Gospels, it may surprise you how much Jesus had to say about the future, about the end of this world, and about his second coming. Our future. And it's important to understand the fact that Jesus was not troubled or worried about the future. And in fact, if we have placed our faith in him, we should not be fearful or troubled either. More than anyone else, Jesus was certain of what the future held. He was certain of what the future held for him personally and for the world. He was certain of the end of the world. And he spoke much about it, not to scare us, but in order to prepare us. So today we want to examine Jesus' perspective on the future, that it would stir us to an urgency in our life to live for him today and to do his work while there is time. The first thing I want us to see is that Jesus regularly spoke about the future, and we should too. Jesus regularly spoke about the end times, and we should too. In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, there are two entire chapters of Jesus' teaching on the end times. And in Matthew 24, 25, it says that after Jesus had painted this panorama, this picture of the events of the end time, he said, "See, I have told you this beforehand." Now I want you to understand this. Jesus focused on the future because he wants us to know what's coming. Now Jesus wasn't preoccupied with the future in an unbalanced way, but he regularly emphasized its importance. In fact, in Matthew 13, 23 through 24 through 50, he spoke of the final judgment. In Matthew 21 through 16 and Luke 19, 11 through 17, he spoke of how we would one day be held accountable for the life we live and receive rewards when the end comes, when he returns. He also spoke of a future kingdom and how some that were not expected to be there would be there, and how others who people thought would not be there, they'll actually be there. And he described this great celebration, this great marriage feast that would take place for all those who are present in his future kingdom. And you can read that in Matthew 8. You can read it in Matthew 22. He also in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 identified signs of his coming that would indicate the nearness of his return, which I believe we are seeing right now. I believe the coronavirus is one of those signs where Jesus talked about pestilences that would come in the end times. He also emphasized the need for staying ready for his coming in Luke 12, and also in Matthew, the end of Matthew 24 and 25, he tells several parables emphasizing the need to be ready for his return. So unquestionably, Jesus wants his followers to know what the future holds so that they might live ready. So don't ever let anyone tell you that Jesus didn't bother about the future or had no interest in the end times, that Jesus to Jesus it wasn't important. To Jesus it was vitally important, and he spoke a lot about it, and we ought to speak a lot about it. We ought to preach a lot about it today as well, even though in most churches today you don't hear very much about the second coming. You hear a whole lot about living this life and living our best life and being successful and how to have a successful marriage or a successful business. And it's not to say any of those things are not important. We do need to teach practical principles of God's word for daily living, but not to the neglect of realizing that we are to be living for eternity and not just for this present world. But Jesus also focused on the future because he wanted us to know three things. The first thing he wants us to know is God is in control. God is in control. Nothing catches him off guard or by surprise. Not even this coronavirus pandemic. Not even the shutdown of our economy. Not even the protests that are taking place all around the world today. None of that caught God by surprise. You know, very disturbing things, the Bible tells us, will be happening in the end, including wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and various natural disasters and plagues and pestilences, even as we're experiencing many of those things right now. But Jesus is saying, don't be shaken. Don't be discouraged. Don't cast off your confidence in the Lord. When we see these things happening, he said, remember, I already told you it was going to happen. I already told you, because God knows, because God is in control. So have confidence, because God is still on the throne. So child of God, you may be discouraged by what you see happening. You may be anxious. You may be fearful. You may be worried about what you see happening in the world around you. But turn your eyes to the Lord. God is on the throne. He is still in control. Trust in him. The second reason that Jesus focused on future events and told us what was to come is because he wants us to know God's got a plan. You know, the Bible tells us that God is carefully orchestrating the events of history to the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. He may not be the one causing all of these things, but he will be working in all of these things and using them for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. God's got a plan. He's got a plan for the world, and he's got a plan for you, and he can be trusted. So cast all of your cares off on him today. Surrender and say, God, I trust you. The third reason Jesus focused on the future is because he wanted us to be prepared. He wanted us to know these things will happen. And he especially wanted us to know when these things were near at hand. That's why he gave us these signs that he said would be like birth pangs, labor pains, increasing with frequency and intensity as his return neared. And he wanted us to know when we were living in the end. And I believe that's where we're living now. I believe that this is our generation that will see the return of Jesus Christ. And he wanted us to know so that we would be prepared. So he told us, and he focused on the end to let us know God is in control, God has got a plan, and we need to get ready. Jesus also focused on the focus on the future means that we need to be future focused as well. He focused on the future, so we need to be focused on the future. In these chapters, Jesus teaches on the end times in response to the disciples' question. In Matthew 24:3, they said, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of your coming and the end of the world be? Now, Jesus didn't rebuke them for their interest in wanting to know when this would happen. He did answer their question, maybe not in the way they intended. But I want you to notice that he even provoked their question. He provoked their interest in the end times. How? Because in verse 2, he had just pronounced the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple of God because of their rejection of the Messiah. And in Jewish thought at that time, the desolation of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple was linked in their mind to the end of the world, to the end times, to the judgment of God. So when Jesus said Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, the temple is going to be destroyed, they are thinking, if this temple is destroyed, then that's it. That's the end. So tell us, Jesus, when is this going to happen? Of course, we know Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. And it was not the end, because Jesus was looking forward to a future date would mark the end of his return. But these things provoked their thinking. So Jesus actually provoked them to think about the future. And Jesus wants to provoke us today as well to think about the end of the age. Jesus was future focused. We need to be future focused. We need to be thinking about the end of the age so that we will live ready every day and do everything that we can to make sure that others are ready as well. The second principle that I see here is that Jesus rebuked those who were unconcerned for the future. He rebuked those who didn't want to think about the end times. In fact, in Luke 12:56, he says, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time?" In fact, Jesus was saying, you know what? He was talking about how they could forecast weather. They could look at the skies and they could say, you know what? A storm is coming. And he said, if you can do that, how come you can't look at the signs and know or understand the time? So folks, if we can forecast the weather, we ought to be able to recognize the signs of the time. When we see dark clouds rolling in, as we are scheduled to see later this afternoon, we know it's a sign of rain. We know it's a sign of a storm. And Jesus says, so how is it then when we can be shown so many signs by God that the end is near, and yet we fail to recognize what these signs mean? I wonder what he would say to us today with all the advancements that have been made in technology that enable us with precision to forecast the weather, to be able to tell the exact time and area that a storm is going to move in. I read an article that kind of puts this into perspective. It said, on May 18th, 1902, a storm with devastating tornadoes ripped through Goliad, Texas, taking 114 lives, 40 of whom sat in a church service unaware as the storm moved in. Many other storms, it said, followed in the first half of the century, bringing devastation. But since 1950, the article went on to articulate, it said meteorologists better understand how tornadoes form. We now have Doppler radar. We have news station meteorologists that are able to alert people down to the neighborhood where tornadoes are forming in real time. And states have siren warning systems. I don't know if you remember, just a couple weeks ago, we had a warning of a tornado in the area. In fact, it was almost 10 o'clock at night, and my alarm system in my home has a storm warning alert, as does my phone. So I'm sitting there kind of winding down, you know, watching TV, getting ready to go to bed. All of a sudden, this blaring siren comes on, and it's my alarm system. And I go to turn off the alarm, and it says, you know, that there's a warning of a tornado in the next few minutes over the Pembroke Pines area. So I reset that, and I kind of went and just sat down, was kind of praying within myself. And then the next thing you know, my phone, because my phone has severe weather alerts, my phone started blaring with the same message. There's a tornado moving right over your area in Pembroke Pines. In the next few minutes, take refuge. You know, we have all of this incredible technology that can pinpoint to a neighborhood when a tornado is forming. But those warnings are only good if people respond to them. And despite all of the technological advancement, many people still die today. And it's often because they ignore the warnings and they don't prepare. Many have also chosen to ignore Jesus's warnings as well. Have you ever noticed that road signs such as detour ahead or exit in 1 mile, they precede the reality of what they stand for? So you will see a sign that says I-95 1 mile. That sign is not I-95, but it's giving you warning that I-95 is coming up, so that if you need to enter, if you need to get on I-95, you can move into the right lane and you can get to the exit. These signs, they give you a forewarning so that you can be ready to take action. And recognizing the signs of the times, the signs of the end, should provoke us to get ready. It should provoke us now to live right so that we will escape the judgment that is coming upon the world. The Bible instructs us to always be looking for the day of Christ's return. Not with wild speculation of setting dates or calculations, but with vigilance and expectancy. In the parable of the unfaithful steward at the end of Matthew 24, Jesus told about servants who thought, the master is not coming back any soon. The master had gone on a far journey, and they said, he's not coming back anytime soon. So Jesus said, you know, they began to party and they began to mistreat one another. But the master returned in a time that they did not expect. And guess what? They were not ready. We must live with a future focus, constantly aware that this could be the day that our Master returns. And it should provoke us to do good every day, to live rightly every day, to faithfully serve our Master every day, because he's going to come back in an hour that we expect not. It could be at any moment. And we need to be living right every moment. We can forecast weather, but we cannot change the weather. All we can do is to prepare for the weather. If the weatherman says 60% chance of storms today, and you don't take an umbrella, you're probably going to get soaked. So we watch the weather to be prepared. And if we're concerned about future weather, don't tell me, oh, I'm not concerned about the end times, because that's much more serious than just getting caught in a thunderstorm. Jesus says the end is coming. And that's not a forecast based on probability like weathercasts are. This is a prophecy with 100% certainty. He is coming again. The end is near. And in his parables, he says it ought to prompt us to live right, to do his work and be ready for his return, that he might find us faithfully living for him and doing the work that he left us to do, telling everyone we know, because he is not willing that any should perish. The third principle we see here is that Jesus related the truth about the future to the present. In Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, Jesus turns the message from merely answering the question of his curious disciples about when the end would come to applying the truth to daily life. He says this in verse 42 and following, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." I want you to see what Jesus is doing. The whole first part of this chapter, he's answering the disciples' question about when shall these things happen. And he gives all of these signs of what would indicate the nearness of his return. But now he turns from the signs of his coming and he applies this future focus to our present life. Jesus made the future relevant to the present. In fact, in Matthew 24 and 25, it is Jesus' most extensive teaching on the end times that we have recorded in Scripture. Two whole chapters. He lays out the signs of the end along with facts about the tribulation period and his second coming. And in Matthew 24, verse 37, throughout Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gave several of his most famous parables regarding how we should live now in light of the future end that is coming. He told the parable of the unfaithful servant, which we just read. He told the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom had their lamps filled with oil and their lights burning when the bridegroom returned, and 5 foolish virgins who were not ready and had run out of oil, and when the door shut, they were locked out, they were lost. And we're going to be looking at that in one of our future messages. And then he told the parable of the talents and how the master gave a certain measure of money to 3 of his servants, and he went on a far journey. And when he returned, 2 of the servants came back and they had brought a profit to their master. And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the 3rd servant came and he had just hidden what the master gave him. And he said, "You are a wicked and lazy servant. What you have will be taken from you and you'll be cast into outer darkness." And so all of these parables are talking about how we should be living and what we should be doing now in light of the fact that the end is coming. And for us, it's even more important than those to whom Jesus was speaking in his day, because we are closer today than ever to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus devoted twice as much time to telling his followers how to live now in light of the end as he did to actually describing the signs or the actual events of the end. His intent is that it would inspire us and equip us to live faithfully today in preparation for the end. Jesus's teaching about the future always placed responsibility on the hearer now. He never talked about the future merely to satisfy our curiosity. You know, I read an article that according to a survey in U.S. News and World Report, 61% of Americans believe in the second coming of Christ. Newsweek reported that 45% believe that Christ will return in their lifetime. 61% believe that Jesus is coming in. 45% believe he's coming in their lifetime. Shouldn't that be making a difference in the way that we're living now? Shouldn't there be much more righteousness, much more holiness, much more involvement in serving Jesus, being in ministry, witnessing, and reaching the lost, if we really believe that Jesus is coming back and he's coming back in our lifetime? Jesus makes it plain with the parables in Matthew 24 through 25 and elsewhere that our belief about the end time should have a major bearing on how we are living right now. In fact, that was Peter's point in 2 Peter 3:11, which was the basis of our first several messages in the series, when Peter said, "Seeing then that everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be living holy and godly lives." There Peter was saying as well, the knowledge of the future, the knowledge that the end of the world is upon us, it ought to be affecting the way that you are living now. Joseph M. Stoll, who was a pastor of a Moody church, wrote this. He said, "When we begin to believe the reality of the other side, we start behaving differently on this side. This is what drove the disciples out into the world. They had seen firsthand the reality of the other side." When we begin to really believe, when we begin to really allow the truth of the return of Jesus Christ and the nearness of his coming to grip a hold of our heart, when that becomes a reality for us, it is going to change the way that we are living now. The fourth principle I see here is that Jesus revealed the future to comfort his followers. Jesus revealed the future to strengthen our faith. In John 13, verses 18 through 19, he had gathered with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he was preparing them for the fact that he would soon be betrayed and arrested and crucified. And he said to them, "I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. You will believe that I am he." Without knowing in advance if something negative, like Jesus being betrayed, arrested, and killed, or the horrendous things that the scripture describes will be taking place in the end times, if those things begin to happen and Jesus had not told us in advance, it could really shake our faith. It could really cause us to question God. We could begin to say, if there's a God, then why is this happening? In fact, maybe that's a question some of you are asking right now. Maybe some of you might be looking at what's happening with the coronavirus. And now China is having to shut down the city of Beijing again because of a resurgence of coronavirus. Some states are thinking of shutting down again. Here in South Florida, a Miami mayor was saying we may have to issue another stay-at-home order because of the resurgence of infections. And then, of course, you know, we see And I know there's a justifiable reason for all of the protests, but we see these protests growing and many of them becoming violent. They just recently burnt down a Wendy's, and I know that there was a questionable shooting there, but there's no excuse for violence, and they burnt down a Wendy's, and they burnt down a gas station, and then in Seattle they've taken over, you know, an entire six block, I believe, area, and will not allow the police. They took over the police precinct, and we see all of these things, and life seems very chaotic right now, very tumultuous right now, and many of us may be thinking, you know, where is all this leading? What is the future going to hold? And it might ask some of you to question God. Why? Why is this happening? But you know, he told us the last days were going to be some very difficult times, some very dark times. And he said, you know, I'm telling you these things in advance to strengthen your faith, to let you know that I am God and I am still in control. So the fact that God said these things would happen, let it strengthen your faith right now. Jesus also revealed the future to calm our fears. You know, in John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus had just been sharing plainly with his disciples about his death, and they became worried, and they became sad, and they became anxious. And Jesus said to them, because he knew what was in their heart, and he said to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is a scripture verse that may be familiar with many of you. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, you may be also. So their whole life is being turned upside down. They left everything to follow Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah and he was going to set up his kingdom here on earth. They didn't fully understand what Jesus was speaking when he spoke about his kingdom. And they thought it was going to be set up right then and there here on earth. And now suddenly Jesus is telling them, you know, that he's going to die. He's going to be taken from them. And their world is turned upside down and they're stressed and anxious and they're worried. And Jesus comforts them. And Jesus knows right now that our world has been turned upside down in many ways, but he wants to bring comfort and calm to our hearts. And he's saying to us, don't worry, I'm working and I'm preparing a place for you and I'm coming back again soon and I'm going to take you, if you've placed your faith in me, I'm going to take you to be with me. I'm preparing a beautiful home for you in all eternity. So this is the truth that we have, that even though this world may be in chaos, there is another world, a beautiful world, a stress-free, anxious-free, chaos-free, tumult-free, coronavirus-free world where Jesus is preparing a place for us and where he will one day come to take us to be with him. What a wonderful promise. Jesus also revealed the future to encourage us now. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You may have peace. He said, in this world you will have trouble. How many of you have trouble? You may want to lift both hands and both feet. How many of you have trouble? We all have trouble, and these are very troubling times. But Jesus says, take heart. He said, have courage. I have overcome the world. And Jesus is saying to us that if we know the word, then we won't be shaken. No matter what happens, we will know that in the end, he wins. And because he wins, we win. A pastor named David Peterson shared how he was preparing a sermon when his daughter came into his home office and said, Daddy, can we play? And he answered, sorry, sweetie. I'm preparing a message for this Sunday service, and in about an hour, I'll come out and we can play. She dropped her head and she said, okay, Daddy. Well, when you're finished, I'm going to give you a great big hug. And he said, well, honey, I look forward to that. Thank you very much. And she walked slowly to the door. And then she turned back and she came running to him and she gave him a bone-breaking hug. And he said to her, baby, didn't you say you were going to give me a hug after I finished? And she said, Daddy, I just want you to know what you have to look forward to. Jesus wants us to know what we have to look forward to. We have a much better future, a much better home, a much better world that is awaiting us. We have victory that is awaiting us. Jesus wants us to know what we have to look forward to. We need to live future-focused lives. Jesus is coming again. And the end is nearer today than it has ever been. That knowledge ought to shape everything that we do. It ought to shape the decisions we make. It ought to shape how we live, how we face our trials, how we spend our time. It ought to shape everything we do. We need to live each day ready for his return by walking in righteousness and holiness each day. We need to live ready by faithfully doing the work that he has left us to do, being involved in ministry, in serving the body of Christ, in reaching out to those who do not yet know the gospel so that they will not endure the terrible judgment that is to come. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Are you confident that if Jesus came back today, you would be ready? Being ready for his return starts with repenting of your sins and placing your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that we are all sinners, every single one of us. There's not even one of us that's righteous. None of us could live a perfect life. That's the whole reason Jesus had to come from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life, and then he went to the cross and he gave his life for us. He took the punishment, the penalty that we deserved. And now when we repent of our sins, and the word simply means repent, simply means to turn away from, we turn away from living life without regard for God, living life according to our own will and our own way. We turn away from that and we say, God, forgive me. And we turn to him and we say, God, I invite you in faith to come and live inside of me, to change my life and help me to live for you every single day. And when we do that, in that moment, Jesus says that we are born again. We're made spiritually alive, because when we are in sin, we are spiritually dead, Paul tells us. We are cut off from God. But the moment we accept Jesus, we are made spiritually alive. We become a child of God, and we enter into a wonderful lifelong relationship with him, whereby we walk with him, we learn what it means to live for him, and he's working in our lives to make us more and more who he's calling us to be. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you, but we have all sinned, and our sin has broken our relationship with him. The only way we can have a relationship with God and claim heaven as our eternal home is to repent of our sins and place our faith in him. Then we can be forgiven, we can be made a child of God, and we can be ready for his return, so that when Jesus comes back for his church, for his followers, we will go to be with him before the terrible judgment begins to be poured out upon this earth. If you are not confident in your heart that if Jesus were to return today, that you would be ready, I want to invite you to pray with me in just a moment. Maybe some of you, for the first time, you'll be praying this prayer. Others of you, maybe at one time in the past you prayed this prayer and you were serving the Lord, but over time you've drifted away and you're not certain that if Jesus were to come back today that you would be ready. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer together with me. It's not my prayer. My prayer doesn't save you. It's not any special words, but it's your heart in sincerity and faith, repenting and turning to God. So if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior today, so that you can begin that wonderful journey of being ready for his return, I want to encourage you to pray with me right now. I'm going to pray a phrase and you just repeat it right where you are. And when you mean it in your heart, God is going to do it. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Thank you for taking my place. Today, I repent of my sins. I turn away from living life my way, according to my will. I repent of all the wrong that I have done, and I ask you to forgive me. I invite you now, in faith, to come and live inside of me. Take control, change me, and help me from this day forward to live for you. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me spiritual life. Thank you for making me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to congratulate you. The Bible says all of heaven is celebrating right now over you coming to Christ. And so I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. I also want to ask you right now, if you would just in the comments, either on YouTube or Facebook, just type, I prayed. If you just prayed that prayer, to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, just type the words, I prayed. Why? Because we want to, first of all, congratulate you, but we also want to send you a little electronic booklet, a PDF booklet, by email, that will help you to take the next steps to know how to grow in the relationship with God that you just started today. So just type, I pray. We are going to respond to that, congratulating you and sending you a link for an online form. Just fill out that form and then we will email you this little book. It's free of charge. We just want to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. But very quickly, I want to give you three next steps to continue to grow in your relationship with God. First, pray every day. And prayer is just conversation with God. You don't need any special words. Talk to God as you would to your best friend. Wake up every morning. Thank him for the good things in your life. Blessings. Every good thing comes from his hand. And then invite him into whatever problems or challenges that you face that day. Invite him into your entire day. Ask him to lead you, to guide you, and to help you in every challenge and every problem. And name them. Speak about them specifically to the Lord and surrender them to him. That's prayer, talking to God every day. And then the second thing we need to do to grow in our relationship with the Lord is we need to allow him to speak to us. How does God speak to us? The number one way God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you on your phone or on your tablet to download the YouVersion app. It's free of charge. And you can read the Bible right there along with a lot of other wonderful resources that will help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Download the app and start reading in 1 John. 1 John is a short book in the New Testament, just 5 short chapters, but it tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And every day before you read, just pray and say, God, help me to understand. Help me to know what you're saying to me for my life. And then just read a few verses every day. You may even want to write down what you sense God is saying to you for your life. And then the third thing that we need to do in order to continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord is that we need to get connected to a local body of believers so that we can continue to learn about him and what it means to follow him and so that our faith can be strengthened. Right now, we are not currently meeting in person, even though we have plans to reopen in-person services on July 12th. But until then, we encourage you to continue to tune in with us by live stream. And if you are in a different locale other than South Florida, we encourage you to check in your local area and find an Assembly of God church and begin to fellowship there. We love you and we congratulate you on making the best decision ever. Now I want to speak just a few moments to those who are already believers, already followers of Jesus Christ. I want to say, what are you doing to make sure that your family, your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers are ready? Let's commit ourselves. And I know this has been an emphasis throughout this message, but these are one of the key emphases of knowing that the end is near, is that we would be doing the work of the Lord. Jesus emphasized that in the parables he told as well. So we need to be ready by preparing as many people as we can by sharing the gospel. Also, for all of us, I want us to pray that regardless of what we see happening in the world, that we would trust that God is in control, that God's got a plan. And I want us to pray that our hearts would be encouraged in faith and comforted to know that in this world we will have trouble, but he has overcome the world. And especially right now, if you need that courage, you need that comfort, you need that encouragement, would you lift your voice and pray with me right where you are? Let's join together in prayer. Precious Lord, we just want to thank you so much for your great love towards us and the lengths that you have gone in order to save us, in order to forgive us of our sins, in order to save us from the judgment that is to come, and in order for us to be able to spend all eternity in the new and wonderful home that you are preparing for us. Thank you that you love us so much that you want to spend eternity with us. We also thank you right now that even though the world may seem to be in turmoil, that you are still on the throne, that you are still in control, that you are still working, and that you have a plan and a purpose that cannot fail, Lord God. Father, I pray now for each and every person under the hearing of my voice. I pray that there would be an urgency in us, especially as we are sensing and we are seeing the signs taking place before us and know that the return of Jesus is near, let there be an urgency in us to do your work, to minister in the body of Christ, to reach out into the community, our lost loved ones, family members, friends, co-workers, to make sure that they're ready as well. But right now, I want to pray, because these are very difficult times for so many, and there's so much anxiety, so much stress, so much fear, so much sadness. I want to pray right now that your word and your spirit would just uplift souls right now, that you would just encourage the hearts of your people, that you would just wrap them in the embrace of your love, Lord God, that they would feel secure, Lord God, in you. Father, I pray that you would just touch, that you would minister, that you would speak peace into the lives of your people. Let our eyes be fixed upon you, Lord God. Father, we just pray your blessing today upon every person under the hearing of my voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We encourage you to tune back in this evening at 6:30 when Pastor Anna and Joyce will be leading a time of worship and prayer from the home. So be sure to tune right back in either here on Facebook or YouTube or on our website at 6:30 this evening. We thank you for joining us this morning. We love you. We pray God's blessing on you. Have a wonderful Sunday.